Strap yourself in,
because we're set up, switched on, and ready to go.
Yes, sir. Reading you loud and clear. Clear. The clock has started.
Episode of our podcast. Today we are going to interview some of the greatest and most influential minds in our field. By sharing our collective expertise, we will show you how to harness, control, and use your own skill set to achieve ultimate success and live the life you want. And now, please welcome your host.
Welcome to This Week's Smallest Cast podcast. This podcast is designed for government contractors, service providers, and manufacturers as part of the government contractor ecosystem, connecting people, organizations, and resources. I'm your host, Just Nate, and this week on the Smallest Cast, we have Mr. Hark Herald. He is a professional EOS implementer with EOS Worldwide. Welcome.
Thank you, Nate. Appreciate it.
So I'm going to apologize right now. I'm just getting my voice back from a cold last week, and slept, I think, 15 hours one night this weekend. So that's usually how my body works. I need to sleep for like a day and then I'm good. So I'm at 80%. So it's not quite like I was, but welcome in. So we're actually trying to get back into these things here. You and I were chatting earlier. Dennis isn't here yet. He took a new job this year. He's still part of the Smalls, of course. It's just with the new job, you know, you're having to answer to a lot of new employees and a lot of new bosses, right, all at the same time. So he's in a lot of meetings lately, so he might decide to call in, and if so, we'll just bring him in on the podcast. But well, thanks for coming in. You live north of us.
Yeah, just north of Parker in a little town called Foxfield.
Okay, is that actually just, well, I guess, is that part of
Denver? So they incorporated about 25 years ago, a little over that, so that neither Aurora nor Centennial could annex them. Okay. And so it's its own town. We have 2.5 acre lots and just a nice little oasis.
Nice. Okay, so what is EOS Worldwide?
Yeah, so EOS is the Entrepreneurial Operating System. So it's a set of real-world, simple, practical tools to help an organization clarify, simplify, and achieve their vision. Okay. Too often, right, when somebody starts a business, they do it because they have this vision that what they want to do, what they want to use this business to both provide for the end customer, but also to make a living and live the life they want to live.
Sure.
But too often, they lose sight of that. They get embroiled in the day-to-day. They're always working in the business as opposed to working on the business. And they end up having the business running them instead of them running the business.
I can see that every day in all the small businesses that come talk to me. Typically, it's an engineer, that in my field anyway, that says, hey, I got a great idea, and it is. But they know nothing about running a business.
Exactly.
And then they try to do it all themselves at the same time, right? They're like, oh, yeah, I learned all my taxes. I learned how to do payroll. I have learned how to do whatever. And I'm like, but should you? I mean, that's, you know, always the question.
Exactly. And we'll get into this a little bit more later, but
sure.
we talk about get it, want it, and have the capacity to do it. And I, you know, your conversation with Kumar last week, you mentioned the engineer who's trying to be the CEO and be the face and be the business person, and maybe they're not the right person. Well, they don't really get it. They definitely don't want it. They're doing it because they have to.
Yeah.
And they have the capacity only because they've trained on it. But they don't really GWC that role.
Correct. It's not their love, right?
Exactly.
Their love is whatever they developed.
Yeah.
And then, but then all the ancillary stuff behind it is how to now sell it.
Right. And so I work with the leadership teams of businesses. And again, I emphasize, we work with the leadership team because it's about getting that leadership team in alignment, because sometimes they think they are, but when you dig down into it as part of the process, you discover really they have different visions.
Okay.
And so help to get the entire leadership team aligned on three things we call vision, traction, and healthy. So vision is just that. Where are you going and how are you going to get there? And making sure the team is aligned on that.
Okay.
traction, as in the leadership team executing with discipline and accountability and knowing what their roles are and being in those roles they GWC, get, want, and have the capacity to do.
Okay.
And then healthy from being a functioning, cohesive leadership team that enjoys working with each other, because too often you get a bunch of leaders in the room and they don't function well as a team.
Everybody has their own idea about going about it, and they don't talk through it.
Right. So we work with the leadership team to get them aligned on vision, traction, healthy, because as goes a leadership team, so goes the rest of the organization.
Okay.
Ultimately, we push it down throughout the entire organization, so everybody's aligned on the vision. They understand what it is. You can go throughout the organization and see people executing on that vision daily with discipline and accountability. And it's a group of people that actually enjoys working with each other.
Yeah, I see that all too often where you don't have a united front from the top down, or you might have, even on a large, on a large company, you might have a CEO that just wants to do everything, right? Because that's how they grew up. They came up from the bottom, built their own empire, but now they might have a couple hundred employees and they're still wanting to do everything themselves, which is probably not a good idea.
Exactly.
Develop that leadership team, right? And everybody get on the same page. You have to be able to relinquish some of that and let your leadership team help you.
Yeah, and we call that a delegate and elevate, which is about rising to your true unique capabilities and delegating the things that maybe you're good at, but you just don't enjoy doing. They're not what brings you joy. And so we help people to get to there. So when we're working with the teams, we have a model called the EOS model. And it starts with the business at the center of the model. And then there are six key components that we work with the leadership team to strengthen, because businesses are dealing with 100 plus issues at any one time. In reality, almost all of those are symptoms of a true root cause. So if we can strengthen those six key components, then those 100 plus issues go away because we're actually resolving them. So those six key components are vision, because every business has to have a great vision. That's where it starts. People, defining who are the right people for that organization, because the right people for one organization are not necessarily the right people for another organization. So we help them identify who are truly the right people in the right seats for their organization.
Okay.
Data, so that as people are making decisions, it's on facts and figures, not on, you know, hunches, which is where when you're starting out, a lot of things are like, well, I think.
Yeah.
So we help them identify what are the true data components that they need. And then when they get their vision people and data components strong, what happens is the organization becomes transparent and the issues are easily identified. And so we work with them. The fourth key component is issues, and that's how you identify the issues, set them up, knock them down, and so they go away forever, so they're not keep recurring. The fifth key component is process component, and this is simply about doing the key things in the organization the right way each and every time, so that you can have consistency, scalability, you know, and ultimately profitability more.
Okay.
And then the sixth key component is traction, and that's about execution, right? That's about actually making things happen every day to advance everybody along to achieving that vision. And in the model, vision is at the top and traction is at the bottom, because vision without traction is hallucination. So we really emphasize traction first, getting them going, and then we work on creating the vision jointly.
So vision without traction is hallucination.
Yes, sir.
Nice.
I didn't come up with it, but, you know.
You made something else I want to bring back. So one of my favorite people in all of business models, you made a comment of brings you joy. They should be doing something that brings you joy, not something that is just because it's something that you think you should be doing. I had a gentleman on the podcast about a year and a half, maybe 2 years ago now, Richard Sheridan. He's the CEO of Menlo Innovations out of Ann Arbor, Michigan, and he wrote the book Joy, Inc. He also wrote the book Chief Joy Officer, and that's all he talks about is his team. He wants them to be joyful at work. The whole point is he built his culture or his business around the fact of he wants his employees to be joyful. And I think that's key. I think a lot of people forget about that. Everybody always focuses on the technical on the product, on the customers, on. But what about your employees, right? I mean, that's
yeah. Absolutely.
It's
got to
start at the leadership side.
Absolutely, it starts at the leadership side. You know, and we talk about right people, right. So in the people component, we talked about right people, right seats. So we help to define right people as those that fit your organization's core values and your true core values. We go through a discovery exercise in the vision segment to identify the true core values for your organization, not what's on the coffee mug, but like, what are they really?
Sure.
And then that defines the right people for your organization. And you have joy when you're going to work with people who share your core values.
100%. You spend more time at work than you do at home. Most people do.
Right. And so we help to identify those core values. And that's how it attracts the kind of people you want in your organization. And it repels those that don't match your core values. So that's how you get people there. And then the right seats, we talked briefly about the GWC. So if you really get it, want it, and have the capacity to do that job, yeah, you're gonna be excited to go to work.
Okay, so you had mentioned. So let's take a step back. We've done a lot already here. I want to unwind a little bit of this. So EOS Worldwide is a franchise, you had said, right?
Yeah. So EOS Worldwide was started by Gino Wickman. You know, 14 years ago, and it is now a franchise model, where to become an EOS implementer, you have to purchase a franchise license, go to 2 days of intense training, and then you run your own business from there.
Do you have employees as well, or?
So at a certain point, some people don't. They just run it themselves. Some people will hire a virtual assistant, you know, or a finance person. But most of the time, it's the implementer is their own business.
Okay. So you have to tackle all of that at the same time, right?
Correct.
So how does one get started by, I mean, so first of all, you had said you kind of focus on some of the smaller businesses. So what size businesses do you normally help out?
Yeah, so the target market for EOS is 10 to 250 employees. That's where 80% of the companies that run on EOS are. Okay. There are some smaller, even down to two-person teams, and there are some with thousands of employees. But the target is 10 to 250.
Okay.
You know, and again, so I was 28 years Air Force, spent the last few years laser-focused on supporting military veteran, military spouse entrepreneurs. So I have an affinity there, as well as I was a cyber officer in the Air Force, as well as a civil engineer squadron commander, and have been on both sides of the government contracting aspect.
So you just trying to find ways to put people to sleep then, right? The acquisition side is one of those areas that I spent my entire career just trying to get jobs on BD side or the engineering side, just trying to help out, trying to, you know, grow the business, whatever company I'm working for. And that's one of those areas that it's there's always something else to learn is what I kind of found out.
Yeah. And that's why, I mean, I love EOS. I truly believe in it. Because it can do that for let's just say government contractors, right? Is it gets your entire organization aligned using simple tools, practical. You don't have to go out and find the new management of the month method.
Sure.
And so it really simplifies, it aligns, and it creates that opportunity for everybody so they know where they're going.
Okay. So how does somebody get started down the EOS path?
Yeah, so if an organization is interested in knowing more about EOS, you know, after this, first reach out to me. It's hark.herold@eosworldwide.com. Got to spell Herold like her old, H-E-R-O-L-D. You can also go to harkeos.com. But anyway, so that will set up an opportunity to have a conversation. If the conversation with the CEO or the COO or whoever, then what we do is we do a 90-minute no-obligation meeting with the leadership team.
Hey, Jenny, real quick. Sorry. I got Dennis calling in. You want to unmute him?
We also need
and we have Dennis Cater on the line with us. Hello, Dennis.
Hello. Are we doing this now?
Yeah, you're live on the air right now, Dennis. Welcome in.
Oh, hey, thanks, Nate.
We've got Hark Herold here as well, so say hi to him.
Hark Herold, how you doing?
Hey, Dennis, I'm doing all right. Are you doing all right?
Apparently.
Apparently he's been late for every meeting lately. I don't know what's going on with him.
That is what's happening.
So Hark and I were just chatting about EOS Worldwide, which is a franchise, and he helps businesses and leadership teams really understand how to move the business along and do what the leadership team should be doing and allow each other to stay in their own lanes, essentially. I'm kind of dumbing it down for Dennis.
Yeah.
And myself.
So I help business owners get more of what they want out of their business. Whatever that is.
Could be more money, could be more employees, could be anything, whatever they want.
Right. It's up to them. Because I'm not a consultant. A consultant comes in and tells you what you should do. I'm a teacher, coach, and facilitator. I'm going to teach the tools. I'm going to coach the leadership team on using the tools and hold them accountable, like a good coach should do. And then I'm going to facilitate. And again, Dennis had talked, I don't work with like the CEO. I work with the leadership team. So I'm going to facilitate the leadership team to make sure that they're aligned on what is happening in the organization.
Okay.
And what kind of tools, like their tools that they're providing you or tools that you, or that they're already using, or what do you mean by tools?
Yeah. So we talked about there are six key components of a business that we work with the leadership team to strengthen. And each of those key components, there are two tools or disciplines that we work with the leadership team to implement in order to strengthen that particular component of the business.
So I don't think he's talking like physical tools, right? Not like Word, Excel, you're talking processes.
Correct. Okay. Like when we talk about right people, right seats, when we define the right seats, we use what we call an accountability chart, not an org chart. An org chart is for ego. It shows duty titles and levels and hierarchy. But an accountability chart says what you're accountable for. Because I don't care if you're the chief marketing officer, the director of marketing, the senior VP of marketing. I don't really care. What I care about and what the other members of the team care about is what are you accountable for to the rest of this team? So we go through and we identify the accountabilities, not the duty titles.
Okay. So how long, we were just getting into, Dennis, of how somebody would reach out to you. And Hark had said that, you know, they can reach out to him via email to get the process started. I'm assuming you'll have a consultation with the one person to start off with or something?
Yeah.
Explain the process?
Typically it's the CEO or COO, but it can be anybody on the leadership team, really.
Okay.
About, hey, this is what it is. If they're like, hey, this sounds good, let me get some more information on this and let's take it to the next step. What I do is a free, no obligation, 90-minute meeting with the leadership team, with the entire team, because I want to learn. One is I want to tell them about EOS, the fact that it's been around for years. There's 117,000 session days. There's over 17,000 organizations running on it. We have 580 implementers around the globe. So this isn't something Hark created last week as, you know, hey, this is cool. Yeah. We should go do this. And then I learn about the company because I need to make sure that it's a match from my perspective as well.
Sure.
We both get a vote on if we think this makes sense. Then I go over the tools, which, again, we kind of alluded to there. For each of those six key components, there's two tools or disciplines for how you strengthen it. And then I talk about the process, which is what we're doing right now, which is so there's that free 90-minute meeting.
Okay.
Then there is a all-day session we call a focus day. 30 days after that, there's a vision-building day. 30 days after that, there's another vision-building day. So by the end of that time, we have the vision outline, and we've given them the tools to actually execute that traction that we talked about. And then from there, it goes into execution mode, and it's kind of quarterly check-ins, where every 90 days, I get with the leadership team. They come up from working in the business, running along, working in the business, to spend a day working on the business, which is what too many often gets overlooked. Most organizations keep that battle rhythm for about 2 years, and then they graduate. And that's fine. I'm an implementer. I'm not there to become part of their team forever. I'm going to help them implement the system. About 2 years on average, they graduate, and they're like, hey, Hark, we got it. We can run it now. Thanks. And they go and do that.
So are you, when you're there helping them throughout that 2 years, whatever it may be, are you behind closed doors with them all the time, or are you out in front of all the employees helping them?
Yeah, so the session days are with the leadership team. Okay. So I work with the leadership team. And then we train the leadership team on how to roll it down throughout the rest of the organization.
And then they, I'm assuming, give you feedback on how it went or
what
went well.
And we check in. Well. Yeah, we have conversations between those 90-day sessions when we're working on the business. We're having conversations.
Okay. Yeah. Well, hey, Dennis, real quick, we're going to take a quick 30-second break. And when we come back, we will find out some more great information from Hark.
Business owners, looking for out-of-the-box solutions? Five Star Bank's Business Solutions Group is here to help you with all your financing needs. When you need a creative, innovative approach that goes beyond traditional solutions, think of Five Star Bank. We care about the growth of our local business community. With offices in Colorado Springs, Denver, and Trinidad, Five Star Bank is easy to find. Visit 5star.bank to connect with us today. That's the number 5, STAR.bank. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
Welcome back to this week's Smallest Cast podcast. This week we have Mr. Hark Herold, a professional EOS implementer with EOS Worldwide. Welcome back, Hark.
Thank you.
And we also have Dennis DK online. Welcome, Dennis. You're not here, so I'm pointing at your seat right now. We've got a mic set up for
Thanks,
you.
Thanks, Nate.
Maybe I should put your picture up online, and then I could just like put you in front of the mic or something. I did that. I should
it's just like virtual thing.
Blur that out, something.
Yeah, it's just like virtual.
That's right. Hark, you were walking through the EOS model. Now, I guess do you also have? I see you brought some books with.
Absolutely.
So, do you guys have books as well as part of the program or
yes.
platform? What do you call it a program, a platform? What do you call it?
It's an implementation. It's the system. It's the entrepreneurial operating system. So
the system.
We now help to implement that system.
You remind me of the Matrix right now. It's the system. It's
it's just there.
It's just there. Great.
You
okay.
may or may not see it.
There you go.
Well, but part of that is every organization has an operating system. They have a way they operate.
Really?
They may not name it, but
okay.
they have ways to do things. This is about a set of tools to do it that works.
Dennis, what would you call yours? The Dennis Cater way?
No. It's a system. No, it's they're all systems. I want to go back to the books. I got some questions. But what about the books?
Yeah, so I brought three different books here. So the first book is called Traction. So again, EOS was created by a guy named Gino Wickman.
Okay.
And so the book Traction is kind of the one that started it. It goes into EOS pretty in-depth about the six key components. And Dennis, you missed them. So the six key components that we work with the leadership team to strengthen are vision, people, data, issues, process, and traction, which is about execution. And so the book Traction by Gino Wickman was kind of the starting spot. It outlines what the EOS is, and how it works and why it works.
Okay.
And then there is...
So why don't you hand those books over here real quick? Yeah. Hand me one. So this is Traction, huh? So Traction is far and away the most potent and useful approach I've ever seen for running a successful company. Cool.
And then Get a Grip is really, it's kind of for people who are better at reading, you know, something that's more of a story. So it's written in a fable format, like Patrick Lencioni's books.
Yeah.
You know, The Five Dysfunctions
of
a Team.
That wouldn't be for me.
So it's more of a fable form.
Okay.
But it's the same. It kind of covers how an organization uses EOS to advance. And then the other one, and so I especially brought this one because of your intro. In your intro, you talk about, achieving ultimate success and living the life you want.
Correct.
Because, again, we talked a little bit about sometimes you get so caught up in the business that you forget about why you started it.
Yep.
And you want to live the life. And so we call it the EOS life.
Okay.
And so it's about doing what you love with people you love, making an impact, being compensated appropriately with time for other passions. So if you can do those five things, you're leading a pretty good life.
Yeah, I would say. Okay, so the EOS life. Dennis, these are pretty cool books. We might have to go out and buy some of these.
Yeah, no, I wrote them down, actually. I wrote them down.
I know you
did.
I'm
like, I need to get a hold of them.
So if, and again, if any, I'm sorry, Dennis, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
If any of the listeners want a copy of Traction, they can email me or go on my webpage and request a copy. I'll send them a copy of Traction.
Nice.
Well, there you go.
And yeah, what was
I just, want a copy.
Well, while you did that real quick, what was your email there?
It's Hark, H-A-R-K, dot Herold, H-E-R-O-L-D, at EOSWorldwide, altogether, dot com.
Okay. Okay, so what do you got, Dennis?
So, what is, like, as you guys come in and look at these companies, and we deal with everything from, you know, two people or a guy with an idea all the way through, you know, hundreds of folks, if not thousands of folks, is there like an optimal size organization that you guys like to work with or that like your system falls in line with better?
10 to 250 people. If you show up on time next time, you'll get all the answers you're looking for.
So, but one of our core values as an EOS implementer is to give first. So for instance, I'm going to be, you know, I've talked with Kumar about doing a kind of an intro to EOS to the companies going through their accelerators, both here and in Ogden. Even though they may be too early for it, it's still that some of the tools, some of the things can be a benefit to them. And that's, you know, just to get
the way
word
I look at it, it's never too early to buy a book to have in your library for when you get to that point in your career or your business. Kind of just like I was talking about Rich Sheridan's books, right?
And even to be thinking about those ideas, right? I mean, I have a friend who does consulting for a lot of companies, and he talks a lot about strategy. You know, what's your vision, mission? I mean, those are concepts out there, but people don't a lot of times actually think through those. Like, what does that really mean for your company? Like, where are you going? You know, and how do you get there? There's another lady that we've been talking to from the Western Slope. She has a company called Outgrow Your Garage, which Hark, I'll introduce you to her. And she's really big on operating systems. Like as you're starting your company, you know, what is your operating system? How do you want to operate? Some companies already have stuff, you know, kind of built, but they didn't really walk the dog on what it is you've built and how is that working? And she helps companies kind of set those operating systems up. So there's a lot of, you know, kind of collaboration out there that probably needs to happen with a lot of these organizations to get folks thinking about those things, because we, like I said, we read them, we, you know, go to business school. Yeah. Okay. I got the idea of this stuff. But then as you mentioned, traction, the implementation is kind of the harder piece of the thing. I think you got to take that idea and write it down, get it down and get it so people can understand it. And then you got to implement it. So I think that those are all really good points.
Yeah, exactly. And that's, I mean, so I did 28 years in the Air Force. You know, had command of a couple different units stateside and in deployed combat situations. I spent the last five supporting military, veteran, military spouse entrepreneurs. But the common theme in the organizations that excel, whether it's a military unit or a civilian organization, is they have a common vision that is shared throughout the organization. People are aligned on that vision. Yeah. They have the right people for that organization operating as a team, and they have a framework in place to ensure execution with discipline and accountability. And I came across EOS as a user of the system. I came into it, and we used EOS, enabled us to do a pivot during COVID. We had to do a strong pivot with the organization. And we emerged from that a stronger organization, providing more value to our customers, right? Because, and EOS provided that framework. So that's why I got excited about the EOS framework, because to me, it gives civilian organizations the opportunity to organize and act like an elite military unit.
So,
very interesting. Good.
No, go ahead.
No, I didn't have a question. I said a comment.
Well, okay. So you used, going back to your words that you use again, you used the word framework. Is that kind of part of the system?
Yeah, I mean, those two tools or disciplines to strengthen each of those six key components is a framework. For instance, we have what we call our vision traction organizer. When we talk about getting that vision understood by everybody, we go through an exercise to, again, identify the true core values for the organization, not what they say they are, not what's on the coffee mug, but really, what are they? And we flesh those out. We talk about the core focus and ensure that the leadership team is aligned on the core focus, because knowing your sweet spot enables you to say no to other things.
Sure. And should we be doing these other things if they're not a core value, or should we hire that out or whatever?
Exactly. And then we talk about the 10-year target. This is, again, about getting so they have a single GPS.
Yeah.
I was working with an organization a couple of weeks ago, and we got to the 10-year target. And they had, the leadership team had vastly different visions 10 years out. And the process smoked that out, right? Yeah. So we were able to have those conversations.
To figure that out and write it down. And
yeah.
So where would you consider culture to fall?
So culture is you know, a lot of that's based on the core values.
Okay.
Right. So identifying the core values and really understanding what those are, what they mean, what are the examples. And we have a people analyzer tool framework for how you can evaluate the employees to see, first off, are they the right people for the org? Right people being defined by a core values match.
Okay.
And so do they exhibit those core values most of the time, some of the time, or rarely? Right. And so we identify it. It also makes having conversations with people where you can actually go, this is the core value you didn't exhibit. Right. So that's right people. And then right seats gets back to the get it, want it capacity, making sure that we've outlined those roles and responsibilities in the accountability chart. And we were agreed on it because we had a conversation.
Right.
And you said you agreed you were accountable. Okay. So now, and it's not just a bad thing, right? It's, I want to be accountable for that. That's what gets me excited about coming to work.
Sure. So we, you know, one thing that we do here, at my day job anyway, is we always say some of the stuff we do is culture first is one of the big things, which is that core value, like you were saying, to make sure that, we're not just going off doing stuff just because. I mean, I would have no problem turning down work if that work didn't coincide with the core values. And I think that's kind of where you're going with is don't waste your time and effort on things that aren't part of your core values.
Yeah, or your core focus, right? Like,
sure.
Like, what is your sweet spot? What do you do better than anybody else?
Okay.
And let's make sure we're focused there. And again, having those identified and agreed to by the leadership team is where the strength is. Because too often the CEO or somebody would be in crystal clear in their mind,
yeah,
but they didn't bring everybody else along.
Can't communicate down to the bottom level, or just under the tier under him,
right?
Or if he has a tier, right?
True.
I mean, that's
true, and that's why EOS is really, again, designed. Target is that 10 to 250, but again, there are teams that are smaller that use it, as well as some that have thousands of people.
So you were mentioning it could fluctuate of how long you stay with the company. You said average, what, around 2 years, something like that.
Yeah.
So does that mean every company has a customized plan?
So the system to get there is the system, the entrepreneurial operating system, right? But it's the leadership team's decisions that populate, like, what is that vision? What is the core focus? So it's individualized with each company, but the process is the same process.
Okay.
And the reason I say average of 2 years, some companies, they like having that implementer come in after the 2 years for those 90-day meetings, because they find it easier to have an outside person come in and facilitate rather than the team itself. But that's totally up to them. That's their discretion.
Okay. And it probably reinstates, you know, it's not a bad thing to have external eyes come in as well, though, right? To say, hey, you know, we've been killing it for the last 90 days, and here's kind of what we're going with it, you know, kind of help assess me to make sure that I'm still following along the same system that I'm supposed to be.
Exactly. And answer questions, because the reason we do those first three full day sessions 30 days apart from each other is because it's a space-based learning system. Because the first day I'm gonna give you a bunch of tools. We're gonna talk about hitting the ceiling, because every organization hits the ceiling, and how you break through that. We're gonna do a first shot at the accountability chart. We're gonna do their rocks or their 90-day priorities. We're going to set them up with a meeting pulse so that they're executing. And then we're also going to take first shot at their scorecard, which is that data component. And so we give them those tools. 30 days later, we get back together, and the first thing we do is review the, like, what questions do you have? Like, what was not clear? What's wrong? So we review those over the course of those three full-day sessions over the course of about 60 days.
So you say you start this out with the CEO, but you have a whole leadership team. I'm assuming it's not always peaches with the whole team, right? I mean,
absolutely.
I mean, you'd probably come in and maybe from the CEO saying, hey, I need you to help me align the team. How do you get over some of those scenarios where, you know, part of the team members just probably don't want you there or don't want
Yeah.
Don't want to change.
Yep. So again, it's typically the CEO or the COO that will bring it in, but it's not always. Again, it might be the chief marketing officer or whatever, right? But sure. Some entree to the leadership team. So go into the leadership team, and we are forthright, and we call it entering the danger. Our job is to enter the danger. If there is a, you know, Nate says something and Dennis rolls his eyes, but Dennis doesn't say anything, my job is to call out Dennis and say, Dennis, you seem to have an opinion on that. And so it's to bring them out, because the leadership team, in order for this to work, leadership team has to be open, honest, and vulnerable. If they won't do those things, this will not work, and we should not partner to work on it.
Fair enough. Dennis, you know, for you to roll your eyes and him to see it, you'd have to actually be here, though, so...
So I was thinking, you know, when I first called in, I thought I was like on a radio show.
Me out. Oh, caller number seven.
What's happening?
You are caller number one.
It actually freaked me out at first. I'm like, wait a minute, what's happening? this is great. And you already gave, did you give the website to get to you? I know you gave your email address. Is there a website for people to find out more information?
Yeah,
about EOS and you.
Yeah, you can go to Hark, HARK EOS, so HARKEOS.com. That's my shortcut. Or there's a EOSWorldwide.com/Hark-Herald. But
I like HARKEOS.com.
Yeah, so we'll make sure that that's posted. And, you know, we'll make sure that you get an invite to some of these upcoming events that we have, too. I always find these things fascinating. I don't know how many companies actually use... you know, outside folks like you, but I know I used to work for Northrop Grumman, and we would bring some outside folks in once in a while to help just facilitate discussions. And I always found them super, super useful. You know, to, as you mentioned earlier, it's good to get somebody from outside the organization, because you kind of all get, you know, on the same track or not. Or somebody doesn't communicate well. And so this makes it, I don't know, less obtrusive kind of, and less confrontational, if you can have somebody come in and help facilitate discussions. And so I think this is a great program.
Yeah, absolutely. And you missed earlier. So, you know, I've been talking with Kamar about doing some intros for folks in the accelerator. Would be more than willing and may very well try to set up a what the heck is EOS educational opportunity that I'd let you guys know. You could advertise that out. And if people are interested in coming and learning more, they can do that.
Yeah, we'd love to.
So.
I already wrote down EOS infomercial, so I'm ahead of you.
There you go. Mid-roll, whatever we want to do. Okay. Yeah. Anything else that we haven't kind of hit upon? I know it's been a lot in the past, 35, 40 minutes already?
Yeah.
Time flies when you're having fun.
Yeah, no, I mean, I appreciate the opportunity. I'm just a firm believer. I've seen this system as a user. I've seen how it can align and create that same kind of impact that it does, that a military unit has, right? Getting people aligned on the vision, right people, and those people are executing with discipline and accountability towards that vision, and they know what it is, they know how they contribute to the mission or the vision. Yeah.
Excellent. Well, Dennis, do you have any last questions?
Yeah, no, thanks. No, I don't, but thank you very much. And where did you run into Nate? Did you meet him down? I know you guys probably talked about this too. Were you down in Pueblo with us down there?
No, actually, Kamar and Kerry Palmateer and I think a couple other people said you need to contact the Smalls.
And
okay.
The rest is history.
So they're looking for their referral bonus. Just
actually, I should have said, and now you know the rest of the story.
There you go.
Jenny's looking at me. She's like, talking about, but, you know, it was a great program.
Getting the reference, though.
Okay. Well, with that, Hark, we appreciate you coming on and we look forward to communicating with you much more in the future.
Oh, yeah. Well, you're going to be seeing me around. I was, when I was with Bunker, I was operating at the national level, and now I'm able to spend more time along the front range. So.
Well, cool. Well, bring us along, and we'll do whatever we can help you out, okay?
All right. Let me know what I can do for you.
And Dennis, hope to see you soon.
Yeah, thanks.
And with that, this is Just Nate signing off.
Thanks for listening. You've reached the end of another episode of the Smalls Cast podcast. Connect with us at thesmalls.org. Don't forget to sign up to our newsletter to receive our free materials. See you at the next episode.
See you at the next episode.